This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Jesuit brother Guy Consolmagno grew up in Oakland County. He is one of 12 Vatican astronomers. He oversees the Vatican's meteorite collection. Pope Francis recently appointed Brother Guy the director of the Vatican Observatory. And a year ago, Brother Guy became the first clergyman to win the Carl Sagan Medal. It's one of planetary science's most distinguished honors. It's given to the scientist who makes science accessible and understandable to the public. Brother Guy Consolmagno, it's such a pleasure to welcome you to Stateside.
It's a delight to be back in Michigan, even if only on the radio.
There you go. And you grew up going to grade school at Our Lady Queen of Martyrs in Beverly Hills. And then I know you went to the University of Detroit Jesuit High School. I'm wondering, along that path, where and when you first discovered astronomy and science?
Well, of course, I was a Sputnik kid. I started kindergarten when Sputnik was orbited, and I finished up high school the year that people landed on the moon. So how could you not be science crazy?
That's so true.
But my dad was also a great astronomy buff when he was growing up. In those days, it was harder for an Italian immigrant kid to become an astronomer, so he went into business, but wound up at Chrysler and supported my passion for astronomy. He pointed out the stars for me. During the war, he'd been a navigator in B-17, so he had learned astronomy that way as well.
So you were almost grew up breathing astronomy?
Absolutely, but it was part of the world. All little boys who were smart, now unfortunately it was only boys in those days, but we've managed to improve that. Anyway, it was just plus growing up a couple of miles from the Crown Book Institute meant I could ride my bicycle there and go to the museum, and then I took part in these programs, as you mentioned, the Saturday programs and the summer programs, just introducing science to kids.
And that did set you on your career path. How did that proceed, not only as a scientist, but also as a member of the Jesuit order?
Well, it was kind of an interesting mix because by the time I got to high school, I went to U of D High because it, you know, had the reputation being the best school. And they said, oh, all the smart kids do classics, Latin and Greek. And so I did that, and I was good at that. And I'd left the science behind. I thought, well, I guess I won't be doing that. But my freshman year in college, I was very unhappy as a history major. It just wasn't fulfilling. And my best friend was going to MIT, and they had weekend movies and pinball machines and tunnels under the school you could explore and the world's largest collection of science fiction. So I transferred there mostly to read science fiction, and suddenly all the science that I'd done as a kid came back, and I said, this is the most exciting thing I could do. And it's never stopped. So I had that background of both the classics and the sciences. At one time, I thought of being a Jesuit priest and discovered that as a nerd, I'm not particularly good at the sort of things that priests would do with dealing with people. I'm much better dealing with rocks. But there is this thing called a Jesuit brother, where you get to live with the Jesuits, you take the same vows, you do the same work. And when I reached a crisis point in my career, pushing age 40, it suddenly hit me as a Jesuit brother, I could do all the things I wanted to do. And really do it not just for myself, but for something bigger than myself.
And your new position now as the director of the Vatican Observatory means you're going to direct a team of 11 other scientists. And is it my understanding all of them are Jesuit brothers and priests?
All of them there's one part-timer who's a diocesan priest who comes down to us from the university in Padua 1 week out of every month to work with us. But all the others are Jesuits. We all live together in the same community, so it's very convenient that we're all under the same rules.
I'm wondering, is working with a brother Jesuit scientist different from working with scientists who are not Jesuits or not members of the clergy or perhaps not religious in any way, shape, or form?
It is and it isn't. I don't think you could have 11 people living that closely together if you didn't have this common focus on the religious life and this common language of how we live together and the common rules. That would be tough to do. You know, most communes didn't work in the 70s and the 60s because of that.
Mm-hmm.
The other big difference, we're all the same nerds as the people I was working with before I was a Jesuit. The difference is that we don't have to worry about the 3-year grant cycle, the 6-year getting tenure, all of the pressures that are on lay scientists to produce and produce now. And we're not under the pressure to try to make a name for ourselves. You know, we're not doing this work to be famous or to be rich or to be on TV or even to be on the radio. We're doing it because we love the science and we're given the time to spend 10 or 15 years to make a project really work. That's special.
I think it's worth noting your boss is also a Jesuit, and he once worked in a chemical laboratory. And, of course, we're talking about Pope Francis. And what do you and Pope Francis see as the main mission of the Vatican Observatory?
Well, there are two things. The first, the mission that was given to us by Pope Leo back in 1891, which is now 124 years ago, that mission was to show the world that the Church supports science. So you got to do two things. You got to do the science, and you have to show the world. Now, I think in the modern age, what I've discovered is that most of my fellow scientists are very comfortable with people who are religious, of every religion. You know, when I became a Jesuit, all my friends started telling me about the churches they went to. And, you know, my reaction was, you actually go to church? And I think that was their reaction to me, too. But the most important thing for us is to remind religious people that science is a wonderful way of getting to know God and that we shouldn't let the atheists steal it from us.
In fact, you really do push this, the idea that science and faith have much in common and it should not be at loggerheads, right?
Well, they come from common roots. I also remind people that as Christians, or Muslims or Jews for that matter, mm-hmm. we only believe in one more God than Richard Dawkins, so we're not that far apart. And I say that only half-joking because there are a lot of views of God out there. There are a lot of ideas of God that we specifically don't believe in. So when I meet an atheist, more often than not, I discover that the God that he or she doesn't believe in, I don't believe in either.
That's interesting. So many of your beliefs that you've expressed about science and faith really kind of do go against the grain. You say science begins with intuition and not logic. Can you talk more to us about what you see as that role of intuition and belief in science?
Well, the biggest challenge of any scientist is to find a problem that's big enough to be interesting and small enough to be solvable, at least in a lifetime. And how do you know that? How do you make that choice? The fact is you don't know ahead of time. If you did, it wouldn't be an interesting problem. Often you wind up choosing two or three problems to work on in the hope that one of them will turn out. But it is a matter of taste. It is a matter of scientific intuition. It's a matter of having a sense when you are familiar with the universe and how it works, you're able to say, I bet you this is what's going on. Let's spend a couple of years to see if it actually works. And to have the humility to be able to say, well, I guess I was wrong if it turns out you were wrong.
I want to talk about firing up today's kids. And I know you do talk at schools, you reach out to kids. And you and I are the same vintage. So we are both Sputnik kids who grew up in the 60s. We watched the Mercury launches, and then we watched Gemini, and then Apollo, and we watched Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon. And today, if we want to put Americans in space, we have to hitchhike on a foreign spaceship. Do you worry that that lack of excitement and that sense of true U.S. involvement in space travel is keeping young people from doing what you did?
I am worried about that, and I'm worried about a country that, in the whole, seems to have lost its nerve. We had huge problems in the 60s, but we managed to support going to the moon. We've got huge problems today. We will always have huge problems, but it goes back to a sense that I had when I was 30 years old and wondering, why am I doing astronomy when people are starving in the world? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're trying to balance out, where do you put your resources? I couldn't justify being an astronomer. I quit. I joined the Peace Corps. And the Peace Corps sent me to Africa, and the Africans said, please, teach us astronomy. And I'm going, what? You know, there are all these other problems going on in Kenya. And they go, well, yeah, but we're curious about the stars, too. We're part of the same human race that went to the moon, and we want to know what that was like. And it suddenly hit me. You know, I had a very clever cat in those days, but my cat never wanted to look through my telescope. But I'd go with a small telescope up country, and everybody in the village would look at the craters on the moon and go, wow, just like everybody back in Michigan would look at the craters on the moon and go, wow. Mm-hmm. This is what makes us human. You know, we don't live by bread alone. I read that someplace.
A good book.
You've got to feed your soul in order to feed the whole human. Now, you have to do both. You can't put all of your money into going to the moon, but you've got to have a certain small percent that you're willing to set aside for the things that feed your soul.
What do you most hope you'll accomplish as director of the Vatican Observatory? You've got quite a spot to work in now, and what do you hope will be your legacy?
Well, my real hope is that more and more people know that we exist, know that religion supports good science, good religion supports good science, and that this fear that makes people think that they have to choose between one and another will be broken down just by the example of people like me who do both and seem to enjoy both.
Brother Guy Consolmagno is the recently appointed director of the Vatican Observatory, grown up in Southeast Michigan, now traveling the world, spreading his work, and really setting quite an example for other kids who find themselves with their eyes cast skyward. Brother Guy, it was really wonderful to talk with you.
Great to be here.
Brother Guy will deliver a talk entitled Astronomy, God, and the Search for Elegance at the Cranbrook Institute of Science. That's tomorrow night. And he will speak this coming Sunday at St. Francis Church in Ann Arbor. We've put a link with that information on our website at michiganradio.org.